Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Amen. Praise God. You folks act like you're saved. It's so good to be with you and be a part of what God's doing in this great church. Your pastor has had a profound impact on all our family. And it goes way back. And today, I'm so blessed to be with him and his family and with you. What a great thing God's doing here. You have a tremendous pastor. You're really blessed. And I'm so happy to see that Mario Owens is still saved. I didn't want to have to visit him in prison. Encourage him. Stay in there. Amen. He's a great son-in-law, tremendous son, actually. We've known him since he was a little boy. We're so blessed to have him in our family and to have Deonza. I don't know if Deonza's in here. There she is, yeah. Got her horse tied out in the back somewhere. But it's just a real blessing to be here. You know, Denton is an unusual place because there's a wind of revival in the air. And the wind is what Ezekiel, the prophet of old, prophesied to. He didn't prophesy to the bones. He spoke to the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied to the wind. And there's something here that I'm not just saying it, but there's something here that is in the air. It's in the air. And it's God's moving. And I believe this church is significant for this time, for such a time, that your words are not going to fall to the ground. As a matter of fact, none of Samuel's words fell to the ground. And I sense that. God gave me that scripture a while back when he said, none of your words will fall to the ground when you speak by the Holy Ghost and you speak by the Spirit. The words that we speak are spirit and they're life. And you're in a good place today to be helped, to get an answer, to be made whole. Walk out of here with a clear and a sound mind that God's in charge of your life, that God has a plan and he will bring it to pass. He brings these things to pass. He gives us a vision, but he also wants us to know he brings the vision to pass. Today I'd like to minister for a few minutes on, we pray for the people that are sick and need help today. But I'd like to minister on signs, wonders, and miracles. The end time moving of God, I sincerely believe, is upon us. And that we're very close to the coming of the Lord. The church came in with a Book of Acts experience, which was sparkling all through Acts. It was sparkling with miracles. It's going out not just with a letter and not just with a theology and not just a dry go-to-church habit. It's going out with signs, wonders, and miracles. Prepare yourself. I heard David Wilkerson say this before he went on to be with the Lord. And it will make some people nervous when they hear and see signs, wonders, and miracles because they've been taught wrong. And they've never expected God to do what God can do. So it is that the Word of God says in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. When we get the truth, something supernatural, God begins to take over. The scripture says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same in the Old Testament. He's the same God today as he was in the Old Testament. When God commissioned and sent Moses in to liberate the people from their slavery, he said, what will I say? Who will I say sent me? He said, you tell them, when I called you, I prepared the way, and I am what I am. I am what I am. Tell them I am who I am and what I am and what I will be. I will be. I am. He is the one that has sent you.
I tell you today, this church has been commissioned to go forth, and not with a long theological treatise, but with an I am. I am whatever you need. I am the God of revival. I am the God who sees and knows how to provide. I am the God of surprises. Hallelujah. And then he said in Hosea, a great indictment against the church world, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, God, talk to us. Speak to us. So in the Word of God, we're looking at Acts chapter 5. I think it's on our overhead. And it simply says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And then yet none of the rest dared join themselves, but the people esteemed them highly. There was deep respect for those preachers in those days. They weren't mocked and made fun of on the night show. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes, wow, of both men and women. Says the same thing over here. Whoa, man, a lot. You guys have got some technology here. And so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Mm-hmm. And also, one last verse, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people. And those, one translation says, from the little villages and the hamlets and the places in the countryside, and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. What we're seeing here in this passage of Scripture is God is giving us his prescription for a miracle. In this passage of Scripture, it talks about Peter. But I want you to look, if you would, at Matthew 18, 20 on our screen. And where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. One of the nature attributes of God is he is omnipresent, everywhere present. And so he says also in Luke 5 and 15, these words, and it says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What we're noticing here is God is giving a prescription for a miracle. It is something that is not here by chance. He ordained it and appointed it for such a time. This passage of Scripture, it says, here's Peter, and he's preparing to go. He's going to walk down whatever avenue or street. And as he is preparing to go, I have no doubt that there were people in the background who had children and husbands, wives, friends, relatives. They're desperate. They need a miracle. And they must be saying one to the other, which way is Peter coming? What street's he going to take? Where is he going to be at this time? One of the things that's so important to see in this passage is that you have here a time he's preparing to go. You have, number two, a place. What street's he on? And number three, human experience. This is the formula or the prescription for God to do something supernatural. The difference in us in the natural and the supernatural is the supernatural is so daunting sometimes. It's so far out. Hippie days. Dated for sure. It's so far, it's so beyond. It's like walking on water, but you don't really have, you really can't believe it. But you're doing it. Amen? And so here, no prayer was made. They just placed themselves and put themselves in a place and released themselves to God. It was amazing to watch. The miracle took place. It's amazing how God moves in different ways, but here is a prescription. They had a time, they had a place, and a human experience. Amazing. There was a centurion in the Bible, and
the Word of God. I believe it's in Acts chapter 8. And he came and he had a favorite servant boy that worked with him and worked for him. And he loved this young man. And he came to Jesus and he begged. He said, please come. In his begging, the Lord said, I'll come. And he said, no, I'm not worthy to be under your roof. Just speak the word only. As he was going home, he met the servant boy completely healed. When did he get healed? When Jesus said, speak the word only. There was a time, there was a place, and there was human experience. I was raised around crusades and preaching and Pentecost. My dad took us to see different ones, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, different great men and women of God. We've been in Bonnke's Crusades. And some of these places, it's amazing. Betty Baxter, who was healed as a little girl. And you see this, that these people knew that when they got there, there was a time. There was a place. And there was human experience. They just, oh God, I believe you. And he moved. This is an amazing miracle. Jesus said, I've not found such faith in all of Israel. How is it? He said, I have one under me. And I say, go, and another one come, and go, and come. He does it. Lord, you have authority. Your words matter. He got to the Lord. And when he got to the Lord, he said, please do this. My servant needs a healing. And he said, no, just speak the word. And at that moment, when he got to the others that were with the boy that was sick, when did he get healed? At that time. And he didn't have watches, but he knew what time it was. And he said that was the time that he got healed. Are you getting anything? Every believer has the privilege to pray for the sick. This thing's going to fan out. There are going to be people that you didn't even know were there that God will ordain a time and a place, and they will hear and believe God. And miracles will happen. Wherever Jesus sent workers out, he commissioned them in the word of God to heal the sick. He sent them forth. Every congregation should be sent forth to do the wonders and the works of God. Your words will not fall to the ground. They may not look like they're doing anything or having any bearing, but God is the one who makes the seed bring forth fruit. Matthew chapter 10 says in verse 7, what a wonderful thing. And as you go, preach. Everybody say, I'm going. You're coming back, right? All right. Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Every believer has the right. Believer has the right to believe God for miracles. And here in this passage of Scripture, he says, you don't need the gift of healing. All you need to do is obey God. And as we obey God, the Lord does the work. Say, I'm too small. I don't know how. I don't have a gift. I can't talk. I can't. The Word of God is so full of people making excuses that Moses made an excuse. I can't talk. You can chirp when you have to. Amen. Quit nudging your wife. It's the truth. God will use you to chirp. I wrote down something for Pastor Blake, and I got this out of an old commentary by Jowett, and here's the future. Here's a windfall. There's something supernatural God's going to do for you. There need be no buts in our relationship to God's will. There need be, like Moses. But I can't talk. But I don't know. I don't have any money. I cannot believe how this will ever happen. He said, nothing will take the Lord by surprise. The entire field has been surveyed and the preparations are complete. When the Lord says, I will send thee, every provision has been made for that appointed task.
the provision for this new building has been made for that appointed task. Hallelujah. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee. He who gives the command will also give the equipment. God has a lot of money. God has a lot of money. And there's a force of people that are coming your way that are not going to be troublesome. They're going to be a blessing to you. And God is going to do super. He has already made the provision. He's already surveyed the future. He has it. Amen. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, one of the things about signs, I've only shared this one other place on signs. Lord, has anyone here ever prayed, Lord, show me a sign? And I've shared this one other time, and I was hesitant to share it, but I will, since I'm in Texas. My dad pastored a church in Godly, Texas. It wasn't very godly, but it was godly, just spelled with a G-O-D-L-E-Y. And I went down there with my wife, Marie, and drove through. I couldn't believe that place was so small, and the church had been turned into some veterinarian thing and closed. I told somebody, angels fold their wings when churches close. But when we were there, I was about 8 or 9. My mother would send me down to a place where there were chicken feet. And they slaughtered those chickens, and they cut their feet and put them in a big container. And I went on that day. She'd say, go get those chicken feet, Ronnie. They're ready. They're fresh. Now, I know that most of you here have never had chicken feet to eat. But we were poor. We couldn't even afford the last two letters. I mean, we were poor. And chicken feet taste mighty good. And she cleaned those chicken feet up and cut those nails off and put them in that the flour and seasoned it up. And it made tremendous gravy. And I'd go down and get those. One day as I was going down there, this object about this big flew over me. And I go this way, it went. I went this way, and it went. I back up, it backed up. I went. Everywhere I move, that thing would fly. Move over. We didn't have any remote, nothing. Those things weren't invented yet. We just started driving cars. I mean, this thing, it was there. I jumped. I wanted it. I wanted that thing. So I was so fascinated. So I went home, and I asked my mom. I said, Mama, what is that? She said, it's a sign. Now, I can't interpret that for you. All I know, it was supernatural. Some people probably think it was a demon. I don't care. It was God. It didn't hurt me. It didn't scare me. It fascinated me. And it was like God says, you're going to be fascinated at the miracles I'm going to do. You will not get credit for it. God will get all the credit for it. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, and miracles. What grounds do we have today, folks, to expect the miraculous and healing for our bodies? Well, there's a tremendous word in the Christian religion. It's called vicarious. It simply means paying the price for someone. I know it's a super big word for some of us, and it simply means Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. He took the pain for our healing. It's in the atonement. Regardless of what our Baptist friends believe, it is in the atonement, and it is for us. It means Jesus Christ, the Bible said, is going to heal you, and it's called vicarious. Isaiah 53:5 says this in the Old Testament with the prophet Isaiah, who was 700 years before Jesus came. And Isaiah 53:5, I don't know if we have that. Did they give you that, Joelle? 53:5, somebody find it and read it for us. You got it? Okay. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. There it is. By his stripes. They beat him. I tell you, if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, you say, please stop. This is too much. This is terrible. By his stripes. One scripture says he didn't even look like a human as he's hanging on that cross. Vicarious. He paid the price for your healing. Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 24 that Jesus Christ is indeed our healer, and by his stripes you were healed. If you can see that there, it is absolute today. All the promises of God are yes and amen, yes, to the glory of God by Jesus Christ. It means that the price has already been paid. It means you don't have to wonder, is this God's will to heal me? Is this God that's going to do it? Yes, we're not against doctors. No, thank God for them. Most people would be dead for wouldn't be doctors. But there are people that believe God, and they know that it is God's will and plan for them to get healed. Mark chapter 16 and verse 3 says, here he says, all you need is a point of contact, and it means we believe it, and we're going to have, and we can have healing. Here he says in Mark 6 and 13, and they cast out many demons and anointed them with oil. Many who were sick and healed, and many who were sick and healed them. This is a symbolic action, not necessary to have oil. You can have oil, but it's not necessary. It is a symbolic action. It is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So, hallelujah, I believe God's doing something here. Somebody's being healed right now. Thank the Lord. There's a point of contact. It may we release our faith to God. So when Peter's shadow came by, don't you know there must have been an anticipation? Oh, my, that little boy, that little girl that is terribly deformed and know what matter it was. Amazing thing. The shadow came, and the power of God was there. There was a point of contact. There was indeed a time, there was a place, and there was a human experience. They just said, God. And they released themselves to God. Last of all, Mark 16 and verse 17. It says here, and these signs will follow them who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Amen. Said somebody said, what if a demon comes to church? How? Bring him. Amen. In my name, they will cast out demons. Could I have an amen? And they will speak with new tongues. Glory to God. And they will take up serpents, not to play with, but if indeed it happens, that's a promise that God says. And if they drink anything deadly, they told Jack Cole, who was a great healing evangelist, somebody there didn't in the city didn't believe in healing and didn't believe this scripture. And it was another preacher, by the way. And he said, I'll meet you down on the corner of First and Main, Jack Cole, and I'll bring the poison. You drink it first, and then I'll drink it. Jack Cole said, meet yourself down there and drink both of them. Amen. Betty Baxter used to take care of his kids. He was a babysitter, but also a great testimony of God's miracle healing. And she would hear them. She told me, I would hear them fussing back and forth. And Jack's wife would say, Jack, don't start a fight when you get up here. And he would say, don't you know I can't get a crowd if I don't start a fight? I'm telling you today, don't look at me strange. God uses real people that are just real. Amen. I sense somebody here today, you're questioning the power of God in this preacher. That's all right. Doesn't change the I am one bit. He came to deliver the captives. Hallelujah. And they will lay hands, believers, on the sick, and they will recover. So here's the scripture. Jesus set the pattern. He gave the prescription. He said, this is an action of faith. Wow. Simple instructions. Simple instructions. Years ago, when we first began to pray for people in this regard, there was in the bull ring in Mexico a great crusade with a man named Argemero Figueroa.
Jack Harris was in that crusade. He's a friend of mine. Known him a long time. And R.G. Merrill had to leave. And so he said to us, he said, we've got to go. I've got an emergency. And he said to Jack, you do the next night. Jack said, I've never prayed for the sick. I don't know how. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you something that'll help the people use their faith, and you'll see miracles. He said, get the people and say, if you're sick, lay your hand on your body where you're in pain. He said, number two, tell Jesus exactly what you want. Number three, begin to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for your healing. No matter whether you see it or feel it, it's praise first, not get what we want and then praise. Amen? And number four, do what you could not do or examine yourself. The next night, Jack got up. He preached a simple salvation message, gave an altar call. Many came forward. He said, now we're going to pray for the sick. And to his astonishment and everyone else there, miracles after miracles after miracles. I have used this plan or this for years to help people trigger their miracle, trigger, release their faith. So I was doing a crusade in California with Mike Neville, who's an old friend who's gone on to be with the Lord. And Jack was standing right down in the front, and he said, Jones, now do this. Jones, I followed and simply triggered something supernatural in that great crowd, and many, many people were healed. This is something that only God can do. Jesus, we know that it's not our tricks. We know it's not our formulas. We know it's God. But when you have people in a crusade healing meeting many times overseas, they don't know what to do. And it helps them release their faith in God. This is a simple plan, simple instructions. I was in the tip end of India in a place called Tuticorin. And it looked to be a failure because we were in a lot of debris and everything in this area where we were doing the crusade. The man with me was named Rick Watkins. We were doing the crusade. I was tired. I did the prayer for the mass prayer, just a mass, and there were a few people healed. And we were leaving. As we were walking off the platform and going away, this man and his wife brought their 15-year-old daughter up. Her hand was twisted and deformed up against her wrist on the inside, just flat against it. They arranged marriages over in India, and she couldn't do housework. She was deformed. Her future was dark. They said, would you pray for her? I honestly didn't want to. I was a little bit perturbed because I had already prayed. I'm going home. Preachers get tired too, you know. And preachers have to carry this hunk of flesh around too and keep it under control too. But I'll give you a little tip, folks. You can control your mind. You can never convince this preacher you can't. You can control your mind. So I said, okay, we'll pray. And I just prayed in the Spirit. No, I didn't feel anything or no flowery words. It was just in the Spirit. If I hadn't had that contractor with me, people wouldn't have believed it. That hand popped out. And I looked at that and I looked at him. You could have knocked his eyes off with a stick. He's looking. He said, well, that happened. I said, it did. She was crippled on one of her feet. And she walked on her ankle, but it didn't get healed. The next night, during praise and worship, it straightened up, and she got healed. Amazing how God works. Amazing. When you look through the Word of God, He has all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles that He works. Amazing things. I'm telling you, one after another, you say, we're not going to engineer God. He's the engineer. He's the one who knows how to make it work. And He did it on that day, and I'll never forget it. You see,
God, in his word, says in James, the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick. And even if he has unforgiven sins, they shall be forgiven. Thank God for these wonderful words, because when the prayer is made of faith, even though that person has unforgiven sin and deserves all the diseases and maladies that they have, God says, in one swoop of my word, I will heal them and remove all their sins. They'll be forgiven. What a God. What a wonderful God. He heals them by his great grace, God, and his mercy passed out on that person that's sick, and they're not only healed, but they're forgiven. I was in Congo just about 6 months ago, and a woman there was blind for 2 years, and her eyes were healed. She could see perfectly. I happened to be going off of steps like these. I missed that last one and stepped over it and fell on my shoulder and broke it. Now, I would love to tell you that I just jumped up and it was healed, but I wasn't. As a matter of fact, I went to the local clinic there and they did x-rays of it, and they said, you don't have any breaks, but I did. It was so painful, they put a sling on me. And here's the healing evangelist with a sling on his arm. That showed me it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's by his great love and his grace. The glory of God will come upon this place, saith the Lord, and you will see two things. Number one, you will see my goodness. And number two, you will see my manifested presence, says the Lord your God. His manifested presence to break every curse, break every habit, break every past sin, break every memory that's dark and ugly, break everything. All things will pass away and all things become new in Christ. Hallelujah. Today, if you have scar tissue from a previous operation, you have pain in your body, you have a vertebrae that's giving you trouble, if you have deaf ear, you have cancer, if you have diabetes and high blood pressure, God's your healer. If you have a growth, that growth is going to dissolve. That growth is going to go away. You're going to pray here, and if you believe God, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, help us know how to pray and pray in faith. For you said to pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Heaven's attention is now here. Father is bending down his ear. And in the name of Jesus, it's the mighty and the powerful name. None other like it. Power to bring forth the dead, power to heal every migraine issue, power to dissolve every growth, power to break the chain of sin off of every sinner. Thank you, God. While our heads are bowed, how many today would lift your hands all over this house and say, I am not right. I'm not right with God. I want to be. Just lift your hands up. Say, I want to be saved. I need the Lord. Slip them up high. Put them up. Put it right back down, and you're here. God bless you. You've been so discouraged, you've pretty much lost your faith and your hope in your own soul. Come on, just raise your hands. Raise your hands. Amen. How many today you're sick, you got an issue, you got a sickness, you need a miracle. It doesn't matter what the doctor said, even if you haven't been, you still are worried about it. Raise your hands. You're sick. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, together? And I want these that need to get right with God, or you have something you want to leave
at this altar and walk away free. Go out. You go out of this place with a whole new beginning. Old things will pass away. All things become new. You got a heart issue. There's somebody here. You got a heart condition. You know it. And you need God to take that away and heal that heart. Create a new heart. Give you many years ahead. You've been tormented that you're going to go early. You're going to be called home. You're going to die early. No. You're going to live. The Lord saw it. Somebody here, you've been in a terrible accident. And the Lord says, I saw you in your blood. I saw you. And I said, live. And he'll heal you. That neck injury. God is in this house to do business. If you raise your hand or you didn't raise your hand and you want prayer, just come and join us right here in the front, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. God's going to help you, son. You believe it? I do too. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord God, Father in heaven, I believe you now. You are the Lord. You are the great physician. Not only do you heal, but at the same time, you forgive us our sins. We thank you for that. For your word says, sins that were unforgiven are now forgiven. Lord, it's your work, not ours. It's yours. It's in your hands. These, Lord, that need to come, show them your love and mercy and heal them too. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.